I'm John Batt with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. And there's trouble in Lebanon, and we're very pleased to welcome Hanin Hadar, the Friedman Senior Fellow at the Washington Institute's Linda and Tony Rubin Program in Arab Politics. AP reports, the caretaker Lebanese Prime Minister called the Palestinian President to demand an end to the volatile situation in Lebanon's largest Palestinian refugee camp, warning that the army may have to intervene to stop the day-long fighting that has left dozens dead and wounded. Hanin, a very good evening to you. Trouble in the refugee camps in Lebanon is a decades-old story. What is driving this violence? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me. Well, this is not a new story, as you said. This has been going on, especially in Al-Ain al-Halwi camp, which is the largest refugee camp in Lebanon and the most volatile. The new story here is that the ceasefires are not working. And despite all the agreements that have been made between political factions and Palestinian factions inside the camp and in Lebanon, the ceasefire agreement has been has failed five times so far. And the issue here is both internally, the divisions within the Palestinian factions and even the divisions within Fatah itself, but also the outside forces that is driving this. On one hand, this is an ongoing but also very escalating effort to undermine Fatah authority in the Palestinian camps, and mainly in the Ain al-Halwi Palestinian camp. Fatah authority has been subject to many, many violent and political attempts in order to be undermined in Lebanon by Islamist groups, especially Hamas. But they have failed so far. This time, it means there have been a real decision to undermine Fatah and the Palestinian camps by the assassination of their leader, which started the whole thing. Al-Harmushi was assassinated at the beginning of the thing. And also, it's becoming clearer today that the Islamist groups that are fighting Fatah and causing all this trouble that started this whole thing, the Islamist groups, which are some Jund al-Sham and Saraya, Jund al-Sham and Asbat al-Ansar, these two groups are very much in coordination. They are under Hamas, if you want to say, you know, like they function under Hamas, but they also are coordinated in Lebanon and the Palestinian camps by Hezbollah, which adds the Lebanese-Iranian layer to all this fighting. It's not just internal. Hezbollah has been trying to undermine Hamas through these Islamist groups for the past for many years, and they have actually been recruiting a number of young Palestinians in what is called Saraya al-Muqawama, the resistance brigades, which is the non-Shia brigade of Hezbollah in Lebanon, using them for their infighting in Lebanon or sometimes in Syria. But most importantly today is that this is not working, mainly because Hezbollah today sees a void in Lebanon, in the political decision-making in Lebanon, in the security apparatus in Lebanon. The void is widening every day. The Lebanon is no longer run by any government or any authority.
Right.
So this is a great time to do this.
Malcolm?
So when you link the events in the West Bank with Lebanon, beyond the personnel, do you see that these are independent dynamics? Are we seeing a Sunni Shiite underpinning of some of these clashes between Hezbollah and the organizations in the West Bank, and the weakness of the Palestinian Authority then compounds this?
Yes, exactly. I don't think there's anything independent or separate in, when it comes to Palestinian politics or also Lebanon and the region. Everything is linked. And this is very much linked to what's happening also within the Palestinian political scene in the West Bank. And it's no coincidence that this started with the declaration of the visit of the security Fatah security leader to Lebanon. It coincided with a delegation from the West Bank to Lebanon, from Fatah delegation. And also, I wouldn't call it a Sunni Shia rift because they're all Sunni groups. I would call it more of a Hamas, Hezbollah on one hand and Fatah on the other hand rift. It's undermining Fatah in Lebanon, undermines it elsewhere, and strengthening Fatah in Lebanon, like a good, strong Fatah authority in the Palestinian camps in Lebanon, would also reflect better on the Fatah authority in the West Bank. Today, Hezbollah and Hamas, both, basically the Iranians, have an interest in undermining Fatah in both places. And let's not forget that the last round of rockets that hit Israel from Lebanon also coincided with the visit of Hamas delegation to Hezbollah and the creation of the joint security commission in Lebanon. There was a joint operation room that was created by Hezbollah and Hamas that coincided with the launch of these rockets. And today what's happening is not, I wouldn't really be surprised if it's part of this joint operation room between Hamas and Hezbollah to undermine Fatah. It works for Hezbollah in Lebanon, but it also very much works for Hamas in both places. And Ain al-Hilwa is very significant, very symbolic. And anything that Fatah undergoes in Ain al-Hilwa will reflect on all the Palestinian camps. And this plays very well for Hamas in the West Bank as well.
Hanin, how does this suit the paymaster, Iran? Does it favor this fighting or discourage it, Iran?
Iran definitely favors it in that sense. Hezbollah is really coordinating these groups, as far as we understand. Like these groups function under Hezbollah's patronage, basically, like in terms of support, terms of arms and money funding. Hezbollah plays a role, which means that Iran plays a role for Hezbollah. So if Hezbollah is really moving these groups to undermine Fatah that way with this kind of violence, it means that Iran is working to do this. This is not just also plays in their favor. This is their doing. It's Hamas, it's Hezbollah, and Iran. They are all coordinating, probably through this joint coordination room, in order to do this. This is something that they've been planning for a while.
We have about a minute, Malcolm. Quick question:
Do any of the other countries like Qatar or Egypt play any significant role? I know that they met in Egypt and it failed right away. Turkey tried, it failed. Mm-hmm. Is there any outside intervention that matters?
Usually the Lebanese government intervenes in these cases and these conflicts. The political factions in Saida and the areas interfere. But today there's a huge void in Lebanon that no government, no authority in Lebanon can do anything. And let's not forget that the guy behind these Islamist groups is also wanted, has been wanted by the Lebanese government for terrorist attacks in Saida for a while, and they can't catch him. The Lebanese army can't interfere in these things. So I wouldn't be surprised if the only solution for this kind of round of violence would have to come from outside Lebanon, because it seems the Lebanese factions today are incapable of controlling this. They can't control even the Lebanon's economy and security and political scene. So I wouldn't be surprised if someone from outside. I would think more of Qatar rather than Egypt. Egypt definitely, but I think when it comes to Lebanon, Qatar has a stronger, much stronger role and space inside Lebanon. And of course, we know also the Qatari access to Hamas and other factions. So I'm not sure if this is going to happen, but if need be, I would imagine that the Lebanese authorities or the Palestinian authorities would reach out to Qatar for a ceasefire.
Hanin Gadar, Friedman Senior Fellow, Washington Institute's Linda and Tony Rubin Program, Arab Politics, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.